I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. It is time for another edition of WUKY's award-winning history series, Saving Stories, with Dr. Doug Boyd from the Louis B. Nunn Center for Oral History in the UK Libraries. It's a segment where we feature audio from the collection. Doug, welcome.
It's good to be here.
Now, if this were any other normal year, we'd be in the final days of the Keeneland Spring Meet and people would be flocking to Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby this Saturday. But of course, the global pandemic changed all those plans. Racing or no racing, this remains the horse capital of the world, and the Nunn Center continues to document this signature industry.
In the summer of 2019, the Nunn Center, UK Libraries, partnered with Keeneland, the Keeneland Association, Keeneland Library and Museum Foundation, and the Thoroughbred Daily News, the TDN, to conduct a series of interviews that we called Life's Work. They were reflections on life in the equine industry. So they were interviews with industry professionals in the horse industry, professionals who played different roles, but all of the interviews were conducted with individuals who are incredibly passionate and influential on this industry. One of the first interviews that we released was an interview with Ted Bassett.
A name synonymous, of course, with Keeneland.
Ted Bassett was born here in Lexington. He graduated from Yale. He was an infantry officer in the Marine Corps who got a Purple Heart after being wounded in Okinawa. He was a newsprint salesman in New York City. He did some tobacco farming in Kentucky. He became the director of the Kentucky State Police in the 60s and really, made some significant changes and had a significant impact on that institution. But in 1968, he had a choice. He could go work for Kentucky Fried Chicken, John Y. Brown, or he could come work for the Keeneland Association. And he chose Keeneland for much less money. He came to Keeneland in 1968 as the assistant to Louis Hagen, and in 1969 became Keeneland's president.
And this is a very candid interview.
Yeah, it's very detailed. He's very reflective about his life. This particular excerpt I brought, he is reflecting on the tension that exists between tradition and innovation, especially when he first came on board.
I would be the classic example of somebody that wanted to change everything, you know, when I came here. You've got to really understand the reason of Keeneland's what it is. Keeneland is here succeeding because it's different. It makes a difference in the industry. We support many industry issues and things. We try to set the standard. And in the very early days on purse distribution, we gave back almost 60% of what we took in, we put back in purses, which no racetrack in the country was doing. So the emphasis has been on purse distribution, which not only helps the trainer and the owner and whatnot, but it sets a standard that you're not just up there gouging, you know, putting something back every single day.
So one particular example of this tension between tradition and innovation is an example that includes the parking lot and the mud before the parking lot was paved.
I nearly got fired again over there in front of the grandstand. It was nothing but sod out there. And we had a rainy spring. You know, the people sliding back and forth, the mud and carrying mud all through the building. It was all grass out there. And I put the asphalt down. And Louis Hagen, my boss, and his wife was one of the real contributors to making Keeneland what it is. She had exquisite taste. She knew what landscape architect, Richard Weble from Long Island and Palm Beach, Arthur Smith, the great interior director, she had exquisite taste to do. It wasn't some sort of local Yale coming out here. Everything was done tastefully and thoughtfully and quietly. But I put asphalt out there, and I'm telling you, Louis Hagen's face was purple with rage, and his wife was. That was a crisis point, and I learned, boy, the next time you do this, take it step by step. don't move me back. Flex. Don't cave.
But that's not the only issue of innovation that Ted Bassett came across when it came to his time at the track.
Keeneland went a very long time without a track announcer. And he talks pretty candidly about that.
The idea was the sporting and traditional aspects of racing and not the gambling. The fear of the founders was the Churchill, New York, Chicago. The minutes before the race was always hawking the bettors to the windows. Only 10 minutes to go, 10 minutes to go to get your bet down. Remember, pay. Then he mailed the pick signal. But the hawking of, and that was the real reason, two reasons. The real reason was in the early day, we couldn't afford it. We didn't have the money and the wiring and the whatnot to put up the thing. That's really the fundamental reason. But then they kept it and they thought it became something of an enigma, but it came a part of Keenan's mystic. They don't even have an announcer. When you get some of these New Yorkers and things that came down, they're like, oh my God, you woke up and you're in a state of silence. They go, you better be zeroing out there on the starting gate or the race will be over. You won't know a damn thing what went on. So when we finally put it in about 96 or something, what happened then was we had the off-track betting, and we had showing other tracks on, we're taking Santa Anita, we're taking New York, we're taking Gulfstream, and we're showing them on our video system along coinciding with our live racing. But here we are showing on with Santa Anita's calling them races, New York calling them, but here we're right. I mean, we're standing on a bushel of eels. You know, there's no way we could keep defending it.
One of the all-time great Kentuckians and a really fascinating individual if you've ever had the chance to meet him.
One of my favorite things is to go to the Keeneland Track Kitchen for breakfast and see Ted Bassett, and he kind of holds court there and tells stories and drinks coffee, and there's a lot of laughing, and he's really a treasure.
So this interview is just the tip of the iceberg. Where do we hear more?
There are multiple interviews that are available on the Nunn Center's website, KentuckyOralHistory.org. There's about half of the project that's still restricted. They're being released through time. With each release of an interview, there's an accompanying podcast, as well as a wonderful write-up that's available through the Thoroughbred Daily News, as well as through Keeneland's website as well. So you can get the full interviews at KentuckyOralHistory.org or listen to the podcast. They're really fantastic.
And we'll put a link to that on our website at WUKY.org. Our guest today on Saving Stories has been Dr. Doug Boyd. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me.